Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
One more sleep to go until the Australian Open for 2019 gets underway. And yes, we are going to talk about the actual tennis and the matches and the tournament to come, rather than politics, rather than just Andy Murray, although he's going to come up as well, I suspect, as well. But we've had press conferences today. We've had Roger Federer into the interview room. We've had Caroline Wozniacki in as well. Most importantly, though, we've got Catherine Whittaker here. Hello, Catherine. How are you?
Hello, David.
And we have got Grad Matt. For the first time ever in Melbourne, he's here. Hello, Matt.
Hello. I made it.
You made it. What do you think?
It's great. It's far.
He thinks the flight is long, David.
Yes.
Who'd have thought it?
You know how tennis players talk about five-set matches and going through ups and downs? I was like that on the flight. There were moments where I thought, how much do I like tennis? But no, it was great to finally get here and soak up these first 2 days. It's better today. I was greeted on arrival at Melbourne Park on Kids Day.
Oh, yes.
And thousands of screaming children was my introduction, and today it's been very quiet and
Matt and I
very nice.
We were talking about that yesterday. I couldn't be more pro Kids Day. I think it's the most wonderful thing. I'll jump in front of a bus for Kids Day. I just don't ever want to be anywhere near it or involved in it.
I mean, Matt's
in
young enough to be
way,
one
shape,
of the kids.
Or foremost, David was trying to get his photo taken with Saxophone Sam.
I love Kids Day. It's so much fun. Yeah, there's walking Lego pieces. It's so cool. Anyway, for those of you that have just started listening to the Tennis Podcast here at the Australian Open, and there are many of you, I know that lots of people have only just discovered our show over the last couple of days, and there will be more of you, I'm sure, over the next few days that are going through the back catalogue and listening to this one. I better tell you who Grad Matt is. He is somebody who has interned for us and helped us produce this show over the last 3 years. He's been an absolutely fantastic help for us. He makes us sound more intelligent than we really are by giving us all sorts of research and notes and accurate information, which sometimes I don't always have to hand. And, he graduated. So he went from student Matt to grad Matt. And now we decided we wanted to try to give him a job and have him here with us in Melbourne.
He's just Matt.
Yeah, now he's just plain old Matt. I don't know really what to do with that. But we have talked about calling him Kickstarter Matt because you, our listeners, all pitched in and helped us meet.
We can edit out that no.
All helped us meet our Kickstarter target so that we would be able to have enough money in the budget to be able to offer Matt a job. We haven't actually offered it to him yet, so hopefully he'll accept.
To be clear, I very much support your sentiment there. It was more the fact that I don't think Kickstarter Matt has a particular ring to it that I was
doesn't
expressing
roll off the
dissent.
Okay.
But so, very, very much in support of your sentiment.
Yeah, okay. Well, less than 2 days to go until our Kickstarter closes. That's our crowdfunding campaign so that we have enough to be able to keep producing this show every single day during the Australian Open and all the other three Grand Slams weekly throughout the year. So if you haven't done your bit yet and you want your name on the website on our backers page, go to kickstarter.com. Time's running out, folks. You can still take us on in our predictions, which I have now done. Incidentally, I've done my quarterfinals and onwards.
I think we've all done them, haven't we? We're all clutching pieces of paper here with ink, old school ink on paper.
We have, actually. Yeah. In fact, let's just get cracking, shall we? But first of all,
Matt's is awfully neat, David.
Yeah.
Look at this.
I don't know. There's a few scribbles, but...
Yeah, but the handwriting.
My handwriting is neat.
Dear.
Fine. So we'll
that's why he's Kickstarter Matt.
We'll get on to the draw in just a moment or two. But first of all, I said that Roger Federer had been into the interview room today, and he. I mean, how do you look that fresh and relaxed all the time? And even after 20 years of coming to the Australian Open, it just doesn't look old at all, does it? I mean, you've been in a few of his press conferences at the ATP Finals, Matt. But you can tell it's the start of the year, can't you?
Yes, and also I think he just He's come here straight from the Hopman Cup, hasn't he? And that is the perfect opener for him. He's so relaxed there, and he's gradually used to the time zones, which I think is an interesting factor. And he's ready to go. And also, he played really well at the Hopman Cup, so he's feeling really good about his game. I was quite interested the way he said, "I am playing well." He was the first to admit that. He's excited, isn't he?
He is.
He said, "My body's great. I'm playing really well. I don't suffer from jet lag.
I know all
I'm
these
Roger
things,
Federer, and things are good when you're Roger Federer."
Yeah, but there doesn't appear to be any caveat there, does there?
No.
He seems to be in a really good place.
Yeah, he's in good nick. He has been given nice kit to wear by Uniqlo,
which he was wearing to his press conference as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What colour?
It was a sort of teal.
Mm. What's teal? Is that purple?
Sort of greeny blue.
Oh, greeny blue.
Yeah. Right. It was very nice.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I didn't go to Kaney Shikori's press conference, but...
Nor did I.
I'm willing to bet that what they've given him to wear might be slightly less nice.
Yeah. Poor okay. Before that... Caroline Wozniacki was into her press conference. Now, I didn't manage to get to that one because I got struck down by jet lag of the most gargantuan form by waking up at 3:30 a.m. I had the most wonderful 5 hours, tidying my room. I went for a run. I made myself breakfast. I got all nice and changed, ready to come to the tennis.
But you didn't follow my advice.
What was your advice?
Medicate.
No,
medicate
I didn't do that.
Your way through
no,
jet lag.
I went au naturel, and I suddenly felt like if I don't sleep in the next 4 minutes, I'm going to fall over at 9 o'clock. So I missed Caroline Wozniacki's press conference. I slept through it. What was it like, Catherine?
Press conference wasn't great, was it, Matt?
I was feeling quite awake until I went to her press conference.
Yeah, Matt and I shuffled out of the room, and Matt mumbled something about it having been having uncovered a new jet lag cure. And I did an interview for her for Eurosport afterwards, and I was, you know, I've not had great experiences interviewing her. No particular, she just doesn't know. She seems to be on autopilot. But she wasn't today. I mean, she was a bit in the press conference. I think the only thing she opened up at all on were she was asked by Courtney Noen, the WTA insider, about Agnieszka Radwanska having retired and sort of led on to that with Andy Murray, and she opened up a bit on that. Her face briefly lit up when she talked about going to Anfield.
Yeah, she ate a burger.
In the off-season. Mm. Yeah, I found that story slightly implausible. I don't know about you.
I'd just love to see Caroline Wozniacki next to her 6'11" husband or fiancé from America, who used to be a basketball player, standing in the burger van queue, because that, you know, this is not your fast food restaurant, American listeners. This is your ramshackle caravan where they are. Carlos Moyers here. Hello, Carlos. How you doing, Carlos? Nice to see you.
See you
later.
He's just come by and shaken hands. We didn't organise that, folks. That actually happened. What was I saying? Yeah, Caroline Wozniacki and burger vans. And she had the one where they're sizzling the onions on the plate.
I believe that burger met lips. I just don't quite believe in the exact picture that was painted of Caroline and David. Is his name David?
Yeah, lovely.
Standing in a queue at a greasy burger van, surrounded by Liverpool fans.
I'm going to believe it. I just like the idea of it, and I don't know whether it's true.
I just think it might have been a burger in some sort of hospitality area.
She has a very different football going experience to what I have. Put it that way. Normally, I'm very miserable after a game. I don't want a burger.
Well, that's because you're a Fulham fan and they lost again. Catherine's full of the joys.
Lost because a team that got no shots on target.
Catherine's team, Reading, actually won a match, which has not been happening very often. But your interview with Caroline Wozniacki, you said that you were quite effusive on your WhatsApp messages with us. I've just had a good interview with Caroline Wozniacki. You were really chuffed.
Yeah.
So what was the gist?
Yeah, well, I'd gone into the Eurosport interview room, and I said to the cameraman, a lovely chap called Dan, who actually listens to our podcast, owns some merch.
Good lad.
Says he's going to wear his Tennis Podcast T-shirt on day one tomorrow.
You can get T-shirts with the Tennis Podcast on, and hoodies. I wore mine on the plane.
Dan models them manfully.
Okay.
I said, oh, you know, this one might be a bit tricky, guys, but don't expect too much. And she made me look a fool. She left the room and they all went, what are you on about? She was lovely.
Go on, Caroline.
And I think it might have been the Game of Thrones banter that Dan's camera assistant, Zach, who was out till 5 a.m. last night, he engaged her in some Game of Thrones banter, which she was loving. And she, I asked her about Anfield. She didn't tell the burger story. And she loved talking about Andy Murray. I mean, she was all over that. She said she'd like him to coach her one day.
Wow.
So the...
Everybody's up for a job.
Yeah. Form an orderly queue, everyone.
Yeah, okay. So those are the two press conferences. We haven't had too many today, but they separated them over 2 days. That was really good. We had a good chat, Catherine and I, with Ivan Ljubicic earlier, which is a rare occurrence these days, because over the last 2 years, he's basically gone into Roger Federer lockdown, Ivan Ljubicic, and so we're no longer able to interview him about Roger Federer, which I understand. I mean, you know, not every player feels comfortable talking about the player they coach, but he, as we've talked about in the podcast over the last couple of days, he was more than happy to talk about Andy Murray, and he came out with some of the most fantastic personal anecdotes about having encountered Murray for the very first time and played against him. And I mean, it was really quite uplifting to hear somebody who doesn't know Andy Murray that well, but just was able to give you this real insight into what it was like sharing a court with him. I think the gist of what he said is we had this match when he was a kid, Murray, and it was really intense, and Murray was going crazy and throwing things everywhere and shouting, and Ljubicic was really irritated to lose it in three sets. And then at the net, Murray said to him, it was a pleasure to share the court with
honor,
you.
Honour, I think.
An honour to share the court with you. And Ljubicic said, I just didn't know what to do with that, because I didn't know how to take this kid.
Yeah.
But he's realised over the years that is the man that he is. You know, that there are... It's almost like a split personality.
Yeah, I think those are the words he used. The story... The story he gave me was that Ljubicic, he said he'd only ever played one match on centre court at Wimbledon, and it was against Andy Murray in the third round in 2011, of course, 2 years before Murray went on to win his first Wimbledon title. And he said Murray beat him in four sets and they shook hands at the net, and he described him as a pasty-shaking boy, you know, and he said he couldn't imagine for 1 second in that moment that he would be able to win that title. He said at the net he fully appreciated the weight of expectation on his shoulders, and he just thought, it's not possible. It's not possible for anyone really to be able to cope with that. And he talked about being quite emotional actually watching Andy go on to win 2 years later. Mm. So it's always becoming a cliche, isn't it, paying tribute to Andy Murray? Someone say something bad about him.
Yeah, well, Simon Briggs was trying to think of somebody yesterday. Right, let's talk about these draws, shall we? Because we've had, I think, and I know I read a tweet from you, Matt, about this draw, about how interesting it is this year. Straight after the draw, I think you commented on it. And when I was post-nap, trying to go through this draw and make some sort of sense of it ahead of this show, I was really enthused by it. That all the way through first round and second round encounters, potential third rounds, fourth rounds, there's just so much to look forward to over the next 2 weeks.
There is. I think on the men's side, I think the tweet that I put out was that it feels like there's more contenders for the latter stage of semi-final spots than there has been in a while,
and yet I think we've all picked the same champion and
yeah.
finalists.
But I think there's going to be more intrigue along the way.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Right. So yeah. Hold on a minute.
Well, I don't know. I'm looking around and I can see a lot of Djokovic's.
Yes,
and a lot of Federer's.
Yeah, but I think we've just had lunch, Catherine, and I think the gist of our conversation about the subject, the beauty of the Djokovic draw, is that he's got people early on that are going to throw something at him. It's not. I don't know his first round opponent very well, Mitchell Krueger from the United States, who qualified here. I don't think I've seen him play, but a potential second round against Joe Wilfred Tsonga, who he played against in the 2008 final, his first ever Grand Slam final. I mean, I remember that year so vividly, commentating on all those matches that both of those two played. That was Tsonga's breakout tournament. And
it was the year Murray had lost before anyone had even woken up on day one in Australia.
Yeah, against...
against
Tsonga.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. And then Tsonga thrashed Nadal in the semis.
And the other person in that little top section with Djokovic that we were talking about yesterday is Shapovalov, a potential third-round opponent. And we were talking about how really important it feels for Shapovalov to get to that. I mean, nobody, of course, would be expecting him to win it if he gets there. But, I mean, a year ago, you'd have been looking at that and going, oh, the prospect of Djokovic-Shapovalov in the third round, that would be the one that everyone's picking out and hoping to happen, whereas now it's sort of,
and yet he's
I'd like that to happen.
And he's got a draw with Pablo Andujar and then potentially Tanasi Kakanakis, who's qualified, which really does make you wonder whether Shapovalov will get to that.
He could lose any of those.
Yeah, he could. I think the thing about Shapovalov is he had an okay year last year. He didn't fall, but it's almost like the year didn't really happen. You think of all the memorable Shapovalov moments, they were 2016 and 2017, and he just didn't really kick on. And yeah, it would be good if he could make that third round, but I'm not necessarily predicting it. The other name I would put also for who could cause Djokovic problems is Martin Kližan, who beat Djokovic last year, I believe, in somewhere.
Okay. Well,
it was somewhere in the pre Wimbledon sort of
And he's generally caused Djokovic a few problems before, but Tsonga would be the main man. The off season looks to have done him absolute wonders. He was a shadow of himself at the Davis Cup final that I was at, and I don't know whether it's just the fact that he's back on hard court or he's got himself in shape.
He's probably been in the sunshine. My goodness, I feel like a new man.
But he was good in Brisbane.
Sleep, David.
Tell you,
we've been over this.
That sleep was good. When Catherine talked about the 2.5 hour sleep I had yesterday, that wasn't a nap. That was my actual night's sleep. Anyway, so who have we got Djokovic to play against in the quarterfinals, folks?
Nishikori, which is not a prospect that fills my heart with joy.
No, I've got Nishikori as well. What do you got?
I also have Nishikori.
Okay, right.
I think Djokovic will be pleased with that.
So moving on down, I assume Djokovic is winning that. Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah. Conversation over.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, who's he going to face in the semi-finals? Because in the bottom half of that top section of the draw, we've got Zverev as the highest seed. We've got Raonic as his potential fourth-round opponent. But Raonic has got Kyrgios first round, Wawrinka potentially in the second round. There's Chung in that section as well. So what is Zverev in both of your quarterfinals?
There are five Grand Slam semi-finalists within 8 lines on the draw there.
This is the spicy section of the draw for me. This is the one with the most intrigue. I've got an extremely tentative Zverev, and I've got him beating Wawrinka in the fourth round.
She's actually got in brackets extremely tentative.
And Čorić in the quarterfinal. I feel quite good about Čorić at the bottom there, actually. The seeds in that section are Team, Puy, Cecchinato. And I do think Čorić has moved on so much.
I've got Zverev Čorić as well, as quarterfinals. What have you got?
I have Wawrinka Čorić.
Oh, right.
Hold on.
So Wawrinka is going to beat... He's going to beat Gulbis, then he's going to beat the winner of Kyrgios and Raonic, then he's going to beat Chung and or Querrey, and then he's going to beat Zverev.
Yeah, he's going to be match tough. Well, Zverev,
there's a strong case to be made for this.
I mean, I think Aliash Bedenay is a good first round. I can't see him having problems there, but Shardy worries me a bit for Zverev, I must say. That's the sort of match he loses at Slams. And then also Sok is in that section. And okay, I know Sok did absolutely nothing last year, but if he's there and a bit of a free spirit, he could cause problems. And then Zverev would have to go through the nightmare section. So I don't think it's by any means a given that Zverev will get there, but for me, it was a toss-up between him and Wawrinka, and I've just gone with Wawrinka.
Just to say, Catherine's got Chorich. She's going to go off for a little meeting now, so we'll have her back with us very soon for the next part of the draw dissection. But, Matt, who have you got in that section to face Wawrinka then, in your quarterfinal?
Borna Chorich as well.
So Borna Chorich. Yeah. So we're all going for Borna Chorich. That is the top half of the men's draw. We'll be back in a couple of seconds to give you the rest.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Catherine Whittaker's back. We're back. And the other half of the draw is what we're looking at now in the men's side of things. And at the very top of that Australian Open bottom half of the draw is the name Marin Cilic, who is, I think that's the first time I've heard his name mentioned, and it's come out of my mouth, over the last week. I don't think anybody's talking about Marin Cilic, who got to the final a year ago. He's been injured, and he was unable to play his first tournament of the year, so he comes in, I think, without any tennis. I don't even know if he's going to be fit to play. I mean, he's due to face Bernard Tomic in the first round, which is a pretty horrible draw, really. And Tomic has been in some form recently. So, I don't know. There's not really much you can say about Cilic, is there? Because we just don't have any information, really.
Unknown quantity, yeah.
Safe to say that he's not in my quarterfinals.
Me neither.
Yeah. I'm interested in Kecmanovic in that portion of the draw. He's a former junior world number one, isn't he?
It's, oh, right.
From Serbia.
I've not heard of him before.
Playing Fernando Verdasco first round. He's qualified here. I think that's his first time main draw of a slam. He's not in my quarterfinals. It's just one to look out for, I think. That'll be played on Tuesday. Yeah, I've got Khachanov coming through that portion.
Okay. So do I. I also have Khachanov. I think if he can carry on where he left off last year, I think he'd be a pretty good bet to get there with this injury.
What's he been doing in the start of the year? Because I don't think I've really seen. Oh, he played Doha, and he lost to Stan Wawrinka, who's Matt's man.
My man for the, well, at least the quarterfinals. We've not revealed beyond that yet, have we?
But Khachanov, you believe in, he lost in straight sets 7-6, 6-4 there, and he also played Abu Dhabi, and he didn't, I don't think he won any matches there.
I think he beat team, didn't he, in the third, fourth place playoff, fifth, sixth place playoff, right. Something like that.
Okay. The sixth place playoff.
Yes.
The match that everyone wants to win.
In an exo.
I'm pinning my hopes on him winning a fifth, sixth place playoff against
team. You two
team.
Have got him in your quarters. I don't. I have Bautista Agut in there, who has beaten Andy Murray by that time.
You've got him there in bright green.
Pink. Yes.
He's the first week of the year specialist, Bautista Agut. He's won Auckland, Chennai before, but he's never carried it into Australian Open. So
that's the first time I've ever put him in a quarterfinal of a Grand Slam.
He was very good in Doha.
He
was really good.
He beat Djokovic, didn't he? And he was stunning that day.
And it was because Djokovic wasn't playing badly. It was strange to see Djokovic losing while actually playing pretty well. But in a match between Khachanov and Bautista Agut, I would be backing Khachanov.
I interviewed Bautista Agut yesterday ahead of the Murray match, and first time I think I've spoken to him. I mean, obviously there's a severe language barrier, but I was also interested to see him in his Spanish portion of the little conference as well, of which I understood nothing. But body language wise, he really gives nothing away at all. There's no sense as to how he's feeling at all. I mean, he was perfectly polite in our interview, but he just stares right through you. I was thinking, as an opponent, again, we've talked about how he's the nightmare opponent for Andy Murray. I can't imagine him getting rocked by the emotion of the occasion in the slightest.
No, but he is susceptible to... He's a very, very good player who is incredibly hard to beat, but he is susceptible to an inspired opponent that can hit him off the court, which is what Karen Khachanov showed us he's ready to be over best of five sets at the US Open last year.
I can see why you've picked Khachanov, and I think game-wise, under normal circumstances, I'd probably go with the same. The form coming in, I'm sticking with BA.
And I want to see Federer pace Tsitsipas and Khachanov back-to-back, which would be delicious. I wishfully predicted.
Yeah, it would be Tsitsipas, Federer in the fourth round, wouldn't it, if they got that far? Federer against Istomin, and then he loses to Dan Evans. there's also Gael Monfils in that section. And
Basilashvili, who is playing very, very well.
You've set us up here for our opportunity, Matt, to correctly identify.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Catherine and I started this, I should say, by calling him Temurez Basilashvili, and then I asked Catherine, did I get that right? She said, bang on. And then we found out that no, it's actually Nicholas Basilashvili and Temurez Gabashvili. And even after going over this a couple of times on WhatsApp, we still were a bit confused. So sorry, folks. That was the last show before the Australian Open once began. But anyway, I don't know. Have either of you got Basilashvili beating Tsitsipas? Or do you think that it is going to be Tsitsipas-Federer? Because I think it will be those two, Federer-Tsitsipas, but I still got Federer in the quarters.
Yeah, I've got Federer beating Tsitsipas and Khachanov back-to-back, but being mentally being challenged by both.
Yeah, I have the same, but I do really want that Tsitsipas Basilashvili match to happen. I think I feel like Basilashvili was always on my radar as someone who just hit the ball really hard and most of the time missed, whereas now he's continued hitting the ball really hard and it's just going in a lot more.
It's quite convenient. That helps.
And yeah, he's just so fun to watch, even though he actually looks, when he's playing, like it's the biggest chore in the world. He doesn't smile at all.
So Federer against Bautista Agut, and then in the bottom half of the draw, we've got Kevin Anderson as the highest seed in the first quarter of that bottom half of that draw, of that half, and he would likely play against...
Well, it's Dimitrov, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah, Dimitrov or Isner. Isner against Opelka, the tallest match in history. John Isner 6'10", Riley Opelka 7 foot.
Does anybody want to watch
that? That is a challenge, isn't it? Yeah. Can you last the whole of Opelka Isner in the 35 degrees on Monday? Yeah. That'll be a court without any shade, probably.
To play me. it's that Opelka's dangerous.
Cure for jet lag.
Yes. Opelka's very dangerous. I don't know. I've got Anderson in the quarters. I don't really know
who's
who
not
beats.
Got Big Kev in the quarters.
Anybody? You both got him in.
I have him, okay. Yeah.
So who's Mr. Consistent, isn't he?
The other section in there is more interesting. So who is Anderson going to play?
You're because not even mentioning Dimitrov, David.
No.
Where's he losing? Tsitsipas first round?
No, he'll beat Tsitsipas.
Cuevas, Lajovic?
He'll lose to the winner of Isner and Opelka, in my opinion. But I hope not, because obviously I still love Grigor.
Oh, God, we could have Anderson Isner in round four.
Well, I think you will. And the next section is where I have the only real shock of my predictions. And what about you two? Who have you got in that final quarter-final place to play Anderson?
Not Nadal.
Same here.
Same.
Nadal is actually... I've not written his name anywhere.
Why are we all writing off Rafael Nadal?
It's the ability to endure, I think, for Nadal. I mean, the evidence of the last 18 months, really, is that he has to withdraw or retire in hard court matches, and I don't necessarily think we've got anything to tell us that it's going to be different this time. I've been trying to look at that section of the draw and think who might beat him, and I think Dimonor is probably the one lurking in there the most. I've actually got Diego Schwartzman in the quarterfinal. Quite how I've arrived at that, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I'm really confused.
I've kind of got maybe Dimonor to beat Nadal and then Schwartzman to take out Dimonor, something like that.
I mean, I've got Nadal losing, but I don't quite know. If I had to pick someone that he's going to lose to, I'd probably go for Dimonor.
So who's in your quarterfinal?
But, you know, Struff, semi-finalist in Auckland. My quarterfinal, David.
Who did you say you've got?
Schwartzman.
What are you talking about?
I've got Kyle Edmund.
Right.
But I think if it's not... About? I think it basically, in my quarterfinal, I've got the winner of tomorrow's first rounder between Edmund and Burdick, which okay. I'm just giving to Edmund, but...
Well, I've got Burdick. I've got Burdick in the quarters. I've also got Burdick, who has a 12-0 record against Kevin Anderson, which has to be one of the most bizarre head-to-heads on the circuit. I've got Burdick in the semis, therefore, playing Roger Federer, who will beat Batista Agut. I've got Federer into the final. What are you two got?
I also have Federer in the final, beating Kevin Anderson in the semi-final.
Yeah, groundbreaking news, I've got the same, yeah.
But beating who? Anderson?
Big Kev, yeah.
Right, okay. So then we've got a Djokovic against Federer final. Who wins the title?
Novak Djokovic overtakes Pete Sampras and moves into third on the all-time Grand Slam male winner list.
15. Catherine.
Same.
Here as well. So that was all very exciting, wasn't it? Let's move on swiftly to the women's draw.
Diversity of opinion that we bring you here on the tennis podcast.
I'm sure you're delighted to be listening to this.
What about women's draw, quick.
Women's draw. Let's get on to this because it's really juicy. Simona Halep must have the worst draw of a top seed in history.
And as Matt said to me yesterday, if there were one of the top seeds that you thought needed a good draw here, it was probably Simona Halep.
I would rather be unseeded than have her draw.
When was the last time Simona Halep won a match?
She's lost five on the bounce, isn't
August.
She?
August.
Crikey. And she opens up. First round.
I have won a match more recently than Simona Halep.
So that's a lie. Simona Halep, I'm getting the eyes. Simona Halep has in the first round Kaya Kanepi, who beat her at the US Open.
Inside an hour, I think, she won at the US Open.
And actually, she was brilliant yesterday in the press conference. When asked about her draw, she just, how did you feel? You know, usually they go, oh, well, it's just another match. You know, every day's different. She just said...
Oh, I try not to look at the draw.
You know, she was clearly head in her hands. About to go, oh, God, why have I got Kaya Kanepi again?
She's got Kaya Kanepi. She's got Venus Williams in there, who I know is, you know, unseeded. And,
but, so that could be a third
but
round.
But also, Mihaela Buzinescu. Kenin has just won Hobart.
Right.
She's got and Serena Serena Williams
so
in the
fourth round.
So she
could have to beat the woman who beat her at the US Open, third round Venus Williams, fourth round Serena Williams, just to get into the quarters.
She's not getting there, is she?
I mean, what's that all about?
Who's she going to lose to?
Well, one of the Venus Williams.
One of the above.
Yeah, she might lose for poor old... Simona, crikey. So who have you got in your quarterfinal?
Serena Williams.
This is a
move
really
on quickly, David.
Good
people
old
are tuning out in their
stuff,
droves.
Stuff will happen, folks.
With Simon Briggs and his rubbish predictions when you need them.
Stuff is going to happen that is more interesting than this phase. Right, next, who's going to face Serena Williams in the quarters?
Karolina Pliskova.
This is rubbish. I hovered over Garbiñe Muguruza.
Yeah, me
while,
too.
But
I didn't hover for that long.
And Kasatkina, but she's 0-2 this year and
I
hasn't
think
really
Zheng
got
size
any
you know,
form.
Not easy.
Mm. So right, next, something's going to happen interesting now because it's the Naomi Osaka section of the draw. We know that it's Serena against Pliskova in the quarterfinals. Who have we got in the next quarter?
Naomi Osaka.
No. Anastasia Sevastova.
But she's a US
Open
specialist.
She was a US Open specialist, yeah.
Yeah, but...
You're ahead of...
No, see, I believe I went to the Osaka press conference yesterday, which was hilarious, wasn't it, Matt? That's your first time.
It was a comedy sketch, wasn't it? She just kept making jokes, She's just so self-deprecating. It's hilarious.
And it's the way she delivers them as well, because you don't know they're coming.
Know.
You know, there's no twinkle in her eye that I'm about to crack a funny. It's just suddenly it kind of just comes out. And instantaneously her features change, and she's so much fun.
And she's also quite fun when she speaks in Japanese. Like, I stayed for that because she breaks here into English all the time.
Yeah.
But she's apparently losing, David.
Yeah, well, I think this is all a bit much for her, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's a decent draw.
It is.
Who's she losing to?
I think, well, I could see her losing to Azarenka. I could see her losing to, if she gets to the fourth round, I could definitely see her losing to Sivistova.
See, I agree with you. Before I saw the draw, I agreed with you. All a bit much, just not quite the right moment. I do believe she'll absolutely back up that US Open in time. I just think this is not that time. But then I looked at the draw and I thought, I can't see which
one
she's losing.
Also, and I must admit, I hadn't really noticed this when I put Sivistova into the quarterfinals, but she could place a player, Bianca.
Zhang Wang.
Bianca Andreescu,
first of all.
Who
is somebody that we used to call Qian Wang. But
yeah, well, first of all, it would be Bianca Andreescu in the second round, who I was just so bowled over watching the other day. I loved watching her. She could beat Sivistova. And as you say, what was it?
Chong Wong.
Who had that wonderful
Wong Chong
end to last season, didn't she? And she could be a potential fourth round opponent for Sivistova.
And also Su Wei She is in that little section, who was brilliant fun here last year. Did she beat Muguruza and then
Muguruza
almost
here,
beat Kerber?
Who did she beat at? She beat Halep at Wimbledon.
Yeah,
and that, interestingly, that section with Su Wei She, Chong Wong, Naomi Osaka. If any of those meet, that would be a really big deal for the, you know,
for the tournament. For tennis, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, what have I said Sivistova for? So she could have second round Andreescu, then Chung Wong, and then she could have Naomi Osaka just to get to the quarters. Can I redo this? No, I've done it now. That's the way it is. Next, so who's Sivistova or Osaka going to play in the quarterfinals? I've got Svitolina.
I have too, but only because she's more likely than any of the other individuals. I think it's probably... I don't actually think she's going to get there. I just think it's very difficult to predict who
I think she's ready.
Will. Do you?
I think she's ready. I've got her in my semis.
Really? This is my very, very, very left field prediction.
Ooh.
I've got Victoria Kuzmova in the quarterfinals, who was quite impressive in Auckland, got
she
to the semi-finals.
Because I've never heard of it.
I'm telling you.
Is anyone still listening?
But that's the beauty. I'm learning stuff. I'm a grad maths informer. Watch out for Victoria Kuzmova. I have heard of her, folks. It's just that I don't know anything about her.
It's funny, isn't it, that we've all heard of Madison Keys.
Just don't trust
she's
Madison
a Grand Slam
Keys.
Finalist, Grand Slam semi-finalist at the US Open last year. None of us... you and I were talking yesterday, Matt, saying that we didn't feel great about Svitolina, but then we went through that section of the draw and said, who's going to beat
her?
We looked at one another over Madison Keys' name and just shook our heads.
I've also overlooked... we've all overlooked Elise Mertens.
I've got her in the fourth round.
Okay. Yeah, she's losing to Kuzmova.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Heard it here first,
so
folks, and only here.
So I've got Sivistova against Svitolina. You've got
Osaka and Svitolina.
And you've got
Osaka and Kuzmova.
Of course you have.
Osaka in your semi-final by any chance?
So I've got Svitolina against Serena in the semis.
Oh, hang on, I'd already turned my page over. I've got Serena beating Osaka in the semis.
I have the same.
And I've got Serena beating Svitolina. So Serena's in the final, folks, on all three of the cards. And in the final, she's going to face... let's find out. We'll start with the quarterfinals at the top half of the bottom half of the draw. Does that make sense? I've got Sabalenka. It's such an interesting section of the draw because... Obviously, I've got my personal favourite, Petra Kvitova, who I've picked to win the last two Grand Slams, who hasn't, in that section of the draw. And obviously, she's just won Sydney. She was brilliant. What a wonderful final against Ash Barty. But that is not... I mean, Sydney is a fantastic tournament, but pushing yourself to that limit, so close to this event. I mean, that was a marathon match, emotional, draining... I don't know whether that's the best preparation for this.
No, I agree. And, you know, that is where the, it's those events where Kvitova is an absolute specialist, latterly, isn't it? I mean, I think she was leading the tour last year with 5 event wins and yet absolutely nothing in Grand Slams. I'm just going to keep rubbing that in for David. Absolutely nothing in the Grand Slams. So yeah, I'd agree. I don't necessarily draw any parallels between Kvitova's pre-Grand Slam form and her Grand Slam form. The fact that she's won Sydney, that doesn't further convince me that she's a brilliant tennis player capable of winning Grand Slams. I know that, but it also doesn't convince me that she's going to win this
Grand Slam. So I've learned my lesson, folks. She's not in the
this
quarters.
This is my favourite section of the women's draw by far.
This has to happen.
Barty,
please.
Sabalenka.
Yes.
Yes, I've We've got all Barty got it, Sabalenka. I Although I also noticed that one of my other favourite players to watch, Amanda Anisimova, is potentially a third round opponent for Arina Sabalenka.
Mm.
But I've got Sabalenka Barty.
Serenko's in there. Putintseva. Who wants to play Yulia Putintseva?
Bencic is in there.
Bencic, Petkovic.
Loads of people. But you've both gone for Sabalenka, have you?
Sure have. Makarova's in there. Former semi-finalist here.
So Sabalenka in the quarters. And then the next section has Barty, Ostapenko. And it has Sharapova. It has Wozniacki, the defending champion. So got to be Barty when Wozniacki's in there as well.
I mean, no. I just want to see Barty Sabalenka.
Okay.
So very much.
And you've both got that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Right, well, so have I. So that's interesting. But that's quite interesting that none of us have gone for Wozniacki and none of us have gone for Sharapova. We all think that Barty is going to come through there. So that is interesting. I still believe it. I've gone for it. But, yeah, an interesting one. Next section. So we've got Sabalenka, Barty, and then in the next part of the draw, we have Stevens as the highest-ranked player at number 5. And so is she in your quarterfinals, Sloane Stephens?
No, I've got Kiki Bertens.
Same here. All right. So
but that
you've been copying me, you two, haven't you?
I did mine first.
Oh yeah. And so who?
I think.
And Bertens would have to be Alison Risk, and then she might have to face, say, Annette Kontaveit, which could be a tough one. And I don't know. It's just Stevens is one of my favourite players in the world to watch, men or women, and yet I just don't trust her to always come through draws. You know. That's the issue.
No, on the Strabur in her section, she's got Taylor Townsend first round, which could be a good watch. Taylor Townsend just hasn't come through at all.
Not at all.
No, but she's in the draw, so she's got a ranking up a bit. So Bertens, we all think, up against who in the quarterfinals?
Angelique Kerber.
Kerber. Yeah.
Same here. Kerber, who has Vekic as a potential third round, and then there's Garcia or Gerges.
Gerges, Kerber would be good.
Yeah, there's potential for Gerges
the Germans
there.
It would be.
So who are our semi-finalists? Sabalenka against Barty, who's winning?
Sabalenka.
Barty. Bertens against Kerber, who's winning?
Kerber.
Barty against Kerber, who's winning? I've gone for Kerber.
Well, it's Sabalenka against Kerber, okay, but it's Kerber. No, sorry. It's Sabalenka, but you know.
Catherine's got Sabalenka in the final.
I've got Sabalenka losing to Serena in the final.
I have Kerber beating Serena in the final.
Ooh. I have Serena beating Kerber in the final.
Finally, there's something where we've all disagreed.
Audible sigh of relief.
So, what have you lot got? That's the big question. If you want to put your predictions up against ours that you've heard, and we also give our year-long predictions in our Kickstarter competition, our Scousel Mousel Tennis Podcast Predictions Tournament. Scousel Mousel being the title sponsor. It's a dog, folks, and it's an amazing dog. And that's our predictions competition. You can still enter that if you back us to the predictions level in our Kickstarter, which probably has about, I don't know, 35 hours to run as we speak to you now. Kickstarter.com, search for the Tennis Podcast, and if you want to take us on, you can. It's about 30 teams in it so far. Right, I think we better go and get some sleep, folks, because, you know, we've got a massive day coming up tomorrow. It starts with 3 British women playing all at the same time at midnight UK, which is 11 o'clock in the morning here, all at the same time. There's 7 British players playing tomorrow. 4 of the guys later on with Edmund, Norrie, Evans, and obviously Andy Murray, who is due to take to the court not before 7 o'clock in the morning UK time. He's up against Roberto Bautista Agut. We'll have live commentary on BBC Radio 5 Live Sports Extra. Catherine will be on the Eurosport team, who'll be bringing live coverage. So there's just so much to look forward to tomorrow. Roger Federer and Caroline Wozniacki will play their first round matches in the evening session tomorrow. And you know, it's a fascinating day in prospects, isn't it? I mean, it goes from the calm of the Sunday. The Sunday is the quietest day. We've had the kids' day. We've had all the qualifying rounds. I mean, we're sitting outside right now in Garden Square, which tomorrow could not be more different, could it?
No, no. I mean, there will be some kids in it.
Yeah.
It will just be.
But there'll be thousands and thousands of people.
Diluted.
I'm looking out to my right now. I've got Rod Laver Arena ahead of us, and the rest of Garden Square, which is this huge area of tables and chairs and places for people to sit in the shade and watch big screens and so forth. There's maybe 10 people milling around and past
nice.
All the statues. It is a really calm.
I love atmosphere and everything, but it is nice that no one's
But it
here.
Is going to be totally the opposite. Tomorrow. The schedule of play has also been revealed for Tuesday, I believe, and Novak Djokovic is in the evening session. What else have we got?
Kyrgios Raonic on Hisense, not before 6 p.m. I think 7 p.m. That's the one, isn't it? I think. Certainly for the tournament, that's the one. And so fantastic. I mean, obviously, as we understand it, Nick asks to play on Hisense, but so fantastic that the tournament do that, and you know that is a completely open to the public with the grounds pass court, and that's just fantastic. It's brilliant.
Yeah. We've got Serena Williams in the day session on the Rod Laver Arena, followed by Alexander Zverev against.
Maybe she hasn't seen the weather forecast.
Aliash Bedene. This is Tuesday, of course. Is it still meant to be
hotter.
Hot there?
Yeah. Hotter.
Is it? Oh goodness. So then it's Djokovic, and then it's Osaka in the evening session on Tuesday. Elsewhere, as Catherine mentioned, the Kyrgios Raonic match
Dominic Thiem match, Dominic Thiem against Benoit Paire.
Yeah,
that's which on Margaret Court.
Before that, in the evening session on Tuesday, is Simona Halep against Kaya Kanepi. Loads of stuff to look forward to. Grand Matt will be roaming the grounds. He'll be taking in all the outside courts. Johanna Konta's playing on court 3 on Tuesday, first up. So there's just so much to look forward to. Isn't that? It's going to be great.
Yeah, a lot of sweating.
A lot of sweating. Watch out for Catherine Whittaker sweating on Eurosport. So that's going to be happening. And then we'll be bringing you, don't forget, folks, daily editions of the Tennis Podcast. If you want to get your name on the backers page of our website before the Kickstarter closes, you still can. Just a couple before we close here of Murray memories from all of you, because we've obviously talked a lot about Andy Murray over the last couple of days. We asked for your favourite Murray memories, and there's some absolute corkers here. Rupert Basham says, hard to look past the US Open final of 2012, the toughest final of his three slams, dogged determination against his greatest rival, and a sense that it was his time, worth staying up for. Rose Mercier says, a very young Andy Murray flexing his new bicep muscles after a victory at Wimbledon against Gasquet. Tom Primrose says, for me, his most unbelievable moment was when he lost the 2012 Wimbledon final. That would break most people, but Murray picked himself up, dusted himself off, and won the Olympic gold on the same court 1 month later against the same player, Federer. What a man.
I'm getting closer.
Yeah. Good impersonation. Nice. John Rice says, his most complete performance was probably that Djokovic-Wimbledon final, but my faves were those Nadal matches at the 2007 Australian Open and the 2008 US Open. Absolutely thrilling, pulsating tennis from him in both. Kim V says, when he defended his coach, Amélie Mauresmo, saying she gets blamed for losses and not enough credit for wins. And AJ Willis says, the immense, stressful, grueling second Olympic final in Rio. Great memories.
Great memories. He's trying to make me misty-eyed again, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move on.
It's working. Excellent.
Okay. To be perky.
Well,
Reading have won.
We'll be perky, folks, throughout the Australian Open, every single day here on the Tennis Podcast. We hope you are going to enjoy it. Do download it. Do tell people you know. If you enjoy this show, tell people you know, because we want the audience to grow, and hopefully they will enjoy it too, and we can get lots more listeners and have lots more contributions like that on our social media channels. Give us a review on iTunes if you liked what you've heard. We are executive produced by tennisballs.com. Our mascot, courtesy of our Kickstarter, is Rio the dog, and we are produced in association with The Telegraph. We're going to be back with our first daily edition of the Tennis Podcast during the Australian Open proper. It's go time tomorrow. See you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.